25. This morning I want to share with you the best translation of the Bible. There are many different kinds of interpretations, different translations of the Bible. Though we here at Lebanon Church, and by my own choice, choose to preach and teach from the King James Version, I just am of the opinion that it's the best version. That's my opinion. There are different translations that I actually study from. It doesn't mean that one translation is going to put you in hell or one's going to put you in heaven, though some believe that. But I want to share with you this morning the best translation of the Bible. The best translation that you should use in your Christian life, or soon-to-be Christian life. James chapter 1 and verse 22 through 25. Look with me this morning as we read the precious Word of God. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Will you bow your souls with me? Father, today we thank you yet again for this assembly, for this time set aside, for these people who have come this way. God, may you bless them and theirs for their efforts this morning. God, may you fill us now with the Holy Spirit of God, which we, our believers, are indwelt with. But God, sometimes we just run on empty. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would fill our cups and our efforts and to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to ask you a question this morning, a survey. I want to ask you just for a minute to bow your heads and close your eyes. No one's looking around. I can assure you this morning in this assembly, it would appear that every head is bowed and all eyes are closed. I want to ask you a very personal and private question between me, you, and God. And this would be a good time to be honest, of course, because this certainly would not be the place to stretch the truth. But this morning, if you have, in the course of this past week, not concluding your time here at church, but just away from church in the past 7 days, if you have read the equivalent of a chapter or more of the Holy Bible, what I want you to do in just a moment is stick your hand up. Now, if you have not, and I understand we have good reasoning sometimes and sometimes we don't, but I would ask you this morning, for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of this time together, have complete honesty, and I would never question you and insult your integrity. For this morning, no one's looking around, it's just your pastor. If you've read a chapter of God's Word this week or better, not counting your time at church, would you raise your hand up for me and just hold it just a moment? All right, you can put it down. Lord, help me not to remember those who raised and who those didn't, because that's not important to me this morning. All right, church, look this way. To bring to your attention this morning a very, very important issue, that 25% of this church raised their hand. Seventy-5% of the institution that Christ will soon come back for could not raise their hand in a chapter of Scripture. This morning, I want to bring that to your attention. To scorn you, no. To make you look bad, no, because truth be known, I saw some hands, some I didn't. It wasn't important to me. I just wanted to scan the crowd for just a bit of a survey. It's not important to me who he is or who is not. What is important that we all are. But church, this morning, we are losing a battle. We are dying and just don't know it yet. The best translation of the Bible is not the NIV, not the King James. The best version of the Bible we find in verse 22 in James chapter 1. The Doer's Translation. The Doer's Translation is the best translation of God's Word. You can have a variety of versions in our midst, in this congregation, and on our studies at home. But unless you do them, none of them were good. None of them were number one translations. Because obviously the translation that we stand behind and declare to be number one above all puts no action in us. So what good is it? I wish that I could tell you in the rapture we would be able to carry our version of the Bible and behind it we could hide and stand there behind the holy word of the one who will judge us and say, God, here, I have arrived with this version. And that would be the one who would save you. But it won't. Will you perish and go to eternal damnation because you didn't read a chapter this week? No. But it is the days that follow today that will impact your Christianity forever. Can I submit to you this morning as your pastor and one who works through the week like you do? And one who has sat where you were not too many days ago. One who had very troublesome times in reading my Bible. Sometimes I would sit in my pew and be just full of guilt because I did not read His holy word. Some days I could sit in the congregation and not feel an ounce of guilt because I, for one, could justify what God had put me through the week prior to. Blaming God for one, blaming others for another. But ultimately, the one who suffers is you and me. Out of all the tangible items that God has given us as believers, it is this Word of God. You realize in Ephesians 6, as we looked at last Sunday night, that of all the equipment that we have to go into battle with, this is the only tangible item. It is the sword, the Word of God. And do you not hear preacher after preacher on radio station after TV program asking and begging people to read your Bible and to pray? And you know what it has done to me for one? It has lost its potency. It has no power. I don't even feel guilty anymore as a Christian believer not to read my Bible on a regular basis. And why is that? Because if there is no guilt, if there is no time of feeling like we're the ones to blame, then someone else will always receive that guilt and blame because we instinctively want to put it on someone else. But when the truth is, one day the buck will stop right here. Friend, I tell you this morning not to bring this to your attention, but because God has put this message in this man's heart. Because I hate or despise you, no, friend. I love you with all that I am, and I have no choice in the matter because God has laid it to my heart. You are precious people, not only in His sight, but in my sight. But no one can love you like He does. But church, after service, and God has brought this back to my remembrance through the Holy Spirit. But one Sunday night, we had a service on how most of our young teenagers, I understand those little kids are going to, they're going to be more damage control on the Word of God at times. But when our young adults, and I mean our teenagers today that will be grown men and women making decisions in the world tomorrow, it would seem, are toting cell phones and iPods into church, and they are not even challenged by their parents in many cases to bring the Word of God. We're losing a battle. And they're going to suffer because of that. And that's what breaks my heart. You know, I think sometimes it will take a day to where a teenager or a young adult will approach their parents who have neglected the Word of God and the assembly thereof. When that young kid comes to them out of nowhere and blows you away, nearly giving you a heart attack to bring you to sudden death, and they tell you for the first time that precious little child who could do no wrong stands before you and tells you, "Mom or Dad, I'm gay." "Mom or Dad, you don't know how close I've been to committing suicide. I've had the gun to my head and all I had to do was pull the trigger." Some of them live there, even the ones under the sound of my voice, even now. Your daughter comes home and she's 13, 14 years old and she says, "Mom, I'm pregnant. How are we going to tell Dad?" And church, do you realize this morning it was because we did not live as Joshua lived. We do not live in a way that our homes will serve the Lord. And our homes will be Bible-based. And we will have a time of breaking the Word of truth around our tables in our midst of our families. We neglect it for other reasons that seem to be more important. And you know and I know that the success of your child is more important to you than the salvation. Because actions speak louder than words. Tell me one thing, but don't live another. And we have an opportunity in the midst of the Holy Spirit of God to accept the challenge that we have not rose up and met before in our lives. Some are thinking it may be too late. It's never too late. That is nothing more than the other deception of Satan upon us. And the Word of God tells us in verse 22, "To be ye doers of the Word and not hearers alone." This morning, if we leave this assembly and we take no action, we have done nothing more than heard the Word of God this morning. And we met Him halfway when our God calls us to be fully dependent upon Him. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, and I will read it to you this morning in chapter 3. It says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink," listen all together, "but the Holy Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." The fleshly tables of the heart. That God, through His Holy Spirit, could pen in the hearts of man the Word of God that we might not sin against Him. I got three beautiful children and I want my two girls to... I would love for them to remain virgins until their marriage. But all I can do is raise them the best way I know how because this is my first time through. That's most of the time the case, isn't it? We've got one shot. We've never been here before, many of us. But when God is exhorting His people to not just hear the Word, but to be doers of the Word, to follow through. I've never seen Albert Pujols with the St. Louis Cardinals, one of the best raw, pure hitters in the major leagues. But I've always seen him when he swung the bat, he follows through. Without that follow-through, he would never do anything but foul tip and strike out, and there would never be any distance to his success. If you're going to swing the bat for God, you've got to follow through. Or you can expect a lot of foul tips and a lot of disappointment in your life. Marriages that are on the rocks in our midst. When's the last time you sat down with your wife and y'all read the Word of God and prayed? And you ask yourself why it's one problem after another. See, there's no need for that kind of stuff. I've been there. And I'm telling you, there's a way out of that. My wife calls me now more than ever before because she's expected to do more as a preacher's wife. Or she knows I'll crack the whip on her. But it's like this. This is my whip. Everybody likes a Mac attack. She'll call me at work and she'll say, Mac, I was reading through the Minor Prophets. That's where she's at in her reading of the Bible this year. She's reading the Minor Prophets. She said, Mac, I just never thought that God could be so merciful. I said, He let you marry me, did He? I ejected that just now. I said, honey, I mean, you know how that lifts my spirit for my wife, the homemaker, to call me, and she's impressed because of the Word of God. That's better than her ever calling me and telling me that somebody finally died in God's light. Amen? Some of them people's been on there since I was a baby, and they was 90 when I was little. But you know what's the truth, church? We know the truth. And don't follow through. Don't it dishearten you? Don't it discourage you to know? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just telling you the action that needs to take place here. So I see now where there are 3 points to this sermon this morning you need to take in. Number one, there is a demand of the Word. Number two, there is a danger of the Word. And number three, there is a design of the Word. Firstly and foremost, the demand of the Word is that it calls us as people. Watch this call. Is this a question mark or an option in James chapter 1, verse 22? It's a command. Jesus said, if ye love me, you will keep my commandments. This is no exception to the rule. This, just because this is not listed in the 10, that this is a commandment of God. To be ye doers also of the Word. So this morning, I admire you above more than you even believe. I don't take this lightly that this congregation is full. I thank my God under heaven that you are here this morning. I admire you. There are a gazillion other things you could have done this morning. But you came to church, and thank you, people. Because you are already halfway to the verse in verse 22. Ye are hearers of the Word. So you're halfway home, church. Now we just have to take what we hear and put it into play. Follow through and take action of the command God has given us. You're halfway there, church. You're halfway. Now let's finish the game. But this commandment, it requires attention. The Bible tells us in John 7 and verse 17, watches, Jesus told the disciples, He said, if any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He was challenging the people who hear the Word of God to know it and to learn it, to follow through with it. So when the man stands up and preaches or teaches and handles the Word of God, you will know whether or not, as God's people, if it's sound doctrine or not. And you know that not just by taking one's word, but by you knowing it in your fleshly heart. This table that God has put in our hearts, this soul that He breathed into us, we have an opportunity of a lifetime to pay the Word of God. And many people will never come to church. We've declared that. But listen, the gospel is written a chapter a day. Whether what we do or not, it's the only way that they will know whether or not God is real, whether or not Jesus did raise up from the tomb, whether or not there is a place called heaven, whether or not there is a place these people can turn to. And you cannot hide Jesus Christ. Inevitable. You know, one reason I knew that we would probably be around the 20-25 percentile of those who perhaps may be read, and if we'd be truthful with ourselves, it wasn't because this is just an off week. That would probably be a pretty consistent number. Not that you're that way every week. Not saying that. But around and around we go. You know why? Because when I read the Word of God, there's some things I don't understand. And if I'm following through with God's will, I'm going to ask somebody the question I don't understand. You know how many zeros, how many times I hear about people asking me about, "Preacher, what does that mean?" You know what it may? It may declare that a lot of people are not reading the Word of God this morning. And if they are, if you're enthusiastic about it, you will get to a point and you will ask questions. I get some questions. Very rarely do I ever get a question where people come like I do. Mike's just in trouble with me. I mean, sometimes me and Mike just going to talk a while because I'll get there and I got a list of questions. And I know Mike wants to just say, "Mike, just shut up." Because I ask somebody, "Mike, what's that? Mike, what's that mean?" Well, wait a minute. Now, I read the other day here, and then I read over here, and I just don't... Wait a minute. Something's not as... Explain this to me. How many questions I get like that? None, Harley. You know what that may indicate? One of two things. Either you know up front I can't answer it. I wasn't leaning on that one. Or number two, you don't have a question because you ain't been reading. Proof is in the pudding. Watch this. There's some people who've been in this church for a long time now. Hadn't changed a lick. You know what that tells me? You ain't spending no time in God's Word because it'll change. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. It sure pulled me out of a long way. Put me in a place I never thought I'd be. Sin will keep you, you know, take you places you don't want to go, right? Keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. But I'm going to tell you what, you put your feet on the solid rock of Christ, and He'll take you places you never thought you could go. And I am an example of that today. What Christ has been able to do in me and Christ alone has changed my life. Church, don't you ever forget what Christ can do for you and what He's doing for you even now. He is worthy of me reading what the Holy Spirit penned through the hand of man and left this tangible item for you and I to be able to live and live life efficiently for Christ. My dear friend, here it is. It doesn't matter to me that you're going to quote Scripture or name the books of the Bible in order, perhaps. That's very good. Please understand, that's a good place for our young people to start because they need to know their way around. But you can quote Scripture me all day long, but if you don't live one verse of it, what good is it? Quote it for 3 weeks, but if you don't live it for one moment in your life, what good is it? That person will be one who gets to heaven's door and knocks on the door, and God's not going to let them in. Because He said there will be those who stand at the door and say, "Lord, Lord," and they will not have a place in the kingdom of heaven. "Well, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did all these things." But truth be known, friends, here's the Word of God, but unless I take it and put it in here, it hasn't done me any good. I heard this past week that people are 18 inches away from making it to heaven. You know, 18 inches, a foot and a half. You know where that distance is? From your brain to your heart. And this morning, the Word of God is going to your brain because your message center is receiving this. But you'll be 18 inches away to what your family will become or where you will spend eternity. 18 inches away. Yet so close, but yet so far away. Within arm's reach. And it was just vanity. You missed it. There is a demand that we give attention to the Word of God, and that we also take this Word of God and we take action. This Word of God is leather bound, but God intended to find some shoe leather polish around this Word of God, that it would go where we are. Embark in places that other people said forget about. Because there are people who are crying and those souls who are dying. And I hold in my hand the antidote to their disease. This is a book that is unlike any other. Women, walk with me a minute. Recipe books will tell you how to cook a chocolate cake. Though I know some of you men are grunting and say, yeah, right, they left that part out. But chocolate cakes are told what mix and what batter to use in order to make it. But never at one time in any cookbook have you ever heard the instructions thereof and it told you following, now go and do it. See, there is an element that is in this book that no other book contains. And it is that we will read books that will give us entertainment, inspiration, fun, will enlighten our minds, give us information, will change who we are. Books have done that to people. But never in one book has there ever been a command that this book contains. And it is, once you read it, it says, now go and do it. You've never read a recipe book, ladies, or a fisherman book, men. That once you got the orders of the directions of that book, it said, now go and do it. And that is why many people shun this book. It's still a number one seller, but it's the most neglected after obtained. Because what it does is it's telling you what to do, and nobody likes to be told what to do. Because of pride. Pride goeth before the fall. Shame keeps us there after we fall. Pride. Homes are structured in such a way. There's no one in charge. The man's not the head of the house. Men and women, everyone is equal. And they should be. But because no one's in charge and everyone else is the boss, then there are no followers. But this book is actually a mirror in verse 24, and it's a complexion of your soul. When you open this book and you read it, now you see the complexion of your soul that's within you, and that scares the living daylights out of you. And you know what I'm going to do with things that scare the living daylights out of me? I'm going to leave it alone. Because it ain't what I want to hear. And it's not what I want to do. Because I've been cursed with the nature of sin since the day I took my first breath. And the only way I know is one way. And it's certainly not His way. But what I will do, preacher, is this. I will entertain this book a little while, and I will pick through it, and I will pick what fits in my life, and the other places I'll skip over. If you don't believe that happens, you listen to Joel Osteen a good while. Pick through it. Pick out the parts that suits you as a preacher and suits that big congregation. Yeah, that's right. But leave those other things alone and don't talk about it. If you don't believe that happens, you watch Joel Osteen. The danger of this word now in verse 23. Will you look with me? Back in James now, chapter 1. 23, for if a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For, watch the danger in verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Watch the wording. When you and I go to a mirror, we see ourselves. But I'm going to tell you right now, I already see my body's changing quick like. quick, light, fast, and in a hurry. And I can already see I'm going to be one of those people on antidepressants. I can already see I might as well just put my name in the hat right now. Because things shift, hairlines move, teeth don't stay like they did when you had braces, and just things are changing. Things hurt. I get up in the morning time a little bit, no, right before I start singing God's music, I say, amazing, you know, and I love to sing in the morning time, but I got to grunt a little bit before I get going. It's different. That left knee's killing me, and I don't know why. I didn't mean that. But I will tell you, friend, things are changing. So when I get somewhere and I don't like what I see, or things are changing that it seems like I cannot help, I walk away from there, hoping that soon after that image will leave me. Out of sight, out of mind. You ever heard that, church? Watch this. Same thing happens here. When people open up the Word of God, sometimes it's not so much that they can't understand it. Are you with me this morning? It's not so much that they can't understand it. It's just they don't want to comply to it. They don't want to change their living because of this Word of God. And when this book very simply tells us, turn from your sin. Turn from your sin or die. Turn to Christ now. For today is the day of acceptance, not tomorrow. Turn from your way. This is the only way. And Satan has us so hypnotized and our ways of thinking so distorted that many will never change. But I stand before you today with the hope and the promise of God that maybe just one person today, maybe one individual will change their way. One individual will say, I'm going to take action in my life. God commanded me to read the Word of God, not only to hear the Word of God, but to go out and live the Word of God. Because I can't do it alone, but with Christ in me, I can do what He's called me to do. And they leave here. And they go forward with this command of God, knowing that in their heart, the Word of God may be written. How can the Holy Spirit bring it to your remembrance? Me and Brother A.C. were speaking just this past week. I wish this worked. I've told you that before. I wish osmosis worked. I wish sleeping. I put my Bible under my pillow, hoping that something will secrete up maybe in the middle of the night because I drool a lot. I really do. And you know how it is when you plant something in the ground, you put some water on it. You kick something over and put some water, and a lot of time it'll grow up something. We don't work with it. Because I can plant it under my pillow, cover it all up with that little fluffy thing. And I drool bad. That's just the way it is. And nevertheless, it's bad when I get up. But anyhow, what I'm saying is I'll soak that pillow. Nothing don't grow. Ain't nothing going to grow with that anyhow, let me tell you what. Hey, but I'm telling you, it's not going to work like that. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But it don't work. Osmosis don't work. What's going to have to happen in your life, church, is this. Watch me now. You're going to have to find some time in your crazy life. And you're going to have to just make your mind up that this is what you want to do. I've never seen a determined individual not obtain what it is they want. You can do anything you want to do. All you got to do is put your mind to it. So basically, you're going to have to get the Word of God, and you're going to have to open. Now, I'll tell you another thing, too. If I knew people were doing it and they were concerned about it, they'd ask me, preacher, where to start? I don't ever hear that either. So maybe I could get here today. You want to know what's the sweetest thing in the world, church? To get your family together. And those little children asking those precious questions about Jesus. Nothing beat that. I ain't seen them play a ball game yet that whipped that. Play ball games, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you what. If you're playing ball games, well, I ain't going to get that. I got a problem with that. So I'm going to just shut up. I talk about that too much, don't I, church? But the problem I do have is that there's still 168 hours in a week, right? The older I get, the faster time goes by. I'm 32 now. Weeks go by like that now. Boom, boom. It's going to get worse. I know it is. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. But there's so many devices now that Satan, I think, has helped institute and encourage people to do. Can I tell you today something that would get you voted out of churches? And I don't really care because it's the truth. You know, if you get run off for telling the truth and whatever, you know. Don't come here unless you want to hear the truth. It's one of the things that sets you free, right? But the children are not just the only ones who are being bewildered. It's the moms and dads because, I mean, you know, if I could see a Bible in one of these kids' hands like I see iPods hooked to their ears and cell phones and texting, what if they were to text a 4th? If the 4th of their texting was reading the Word of God, they would have blew our 25% out of the water this morning. What's going to change that? The Holy Spirit of heaven is going to have to convict your heart. I pray for that. God, I pray, I'm telling you right now, God, that you'll convict our hearts that we may turn away from these things. There's nothing wrong with having them. I've got an iPod or something like that. And I got like 2 songs on there that I repeat, and mine don't play out loud. I got to buy one of them things you put it in to make it come out. Some of them play out loud. Now, did you know that? And did you know that our generation, what we're doing is teaching, where we have in us, listen to me now, I'm trying to do something that maybe will resurrect your home and change your life forever. But you're going to have to do something drastic. Now, listen to me. This easing it out the door is like quitting cigarettes one at a time. No. I smoked for a good little while. You know how to get rid of them? This here, talking about, I'll just do one right after supper. Just with my morning coffee. No, that's not going to work. I know that's when it's the best. I understand that. But that's not going to do it. See, listen, you got to understand something with Christ. Christ is very direct with His orders. What does He tell His people in the Bible? Listen now, do you believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's never changed? You know what Christ tells His people? Deny yourself. Follow me. Ye those who do not believe, believe. That's all He's asking you to do today. Those who do not know Christ, the very thing, what do I need to do to be saved? They asked Him that. The disciple says, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? He said, just believe. That's all you got to do. But those who are already believers, when you hear the Word of God, it's time to do. Because the word be ye doers, when you look at the Greek verb be, it means to become, to birth, to be born again, to come into existence. And I will tell you today, across Christianity, there is a death, and it stinks, and it's called not reading the Bible. And if B-I-B-L-E spells basic instruction before leaving earth, what in the world are you going to tell God when you can I remind you for a minute that you're going to have to stand before the one who created you. And on your knees, on your knees you're going to have to bow before God. And you're on your knees. And your tongue is going to have to confess every idle word. And you mean to tell me, church, that there are some things that we are doing premeditated? That we're planning in our week. So when we get there to God and we stand before Him, let me tell you the little slur that the preacher gives every now and again, see what happened. Ain't going to work with God. It's not going to work. Young people, listen to me this morning. Help your parents out in this transitory time. When they do ask you to maybe match you, maybe read your Bible, For every line you text, maybe you read that much scripture in the run of a week. Would that be a good challenge? That would encourage them, would it not? I didn't say take it away from them. Don't cause a revolt. We don't want rebellion because, I mean, I don't know if any kids here to go to church are rebellious. They're perfect. But maybe you can challenge them. Use this device for glory. It's like a car. You can rob a bank with it or you can come to church. What do you want to use it for? So can we take and maybe challenge them? But let me tell you what's going to help these young people. Ready, church? They're going to have to catch mom and dad doing this. Now, I could ask for every head to be bowed and eyes to be closed and say, just young people alone. And I wouldn't do that. Young people alone, I want you to raise your hands if you caught your mom and dad in the last 2 months reading the Bible. We don't want to go there, do we, church? Church, listen to me, ye people of God. I'm not expecting anything great in this service because it's just not that way. I'm not jumping up and down today and telling you to do it. But I'm telling you, church, that we are losing another generation and some of them are dying and going to hell. They're going to burn in hell forever. And God might could just use a dumb old country boy like me just some kind of way this morning to just take what's in my heart and share it with yours. Is there times that we've done everything we could do and they still turn out not the way we wanted them to turn out? Has that ever happened to somebody here say amen? But at least you can walk out of this life with a clear conscience. Yes, you wanted the best for them, but God reminds us constantly, you cannot do it for them, and you cannot make them. Church, you know what? If I thought for 1 minute that you weren't going to take this message serious, and my fellow colleagues and my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not going to start breaking this open and not challenging our kids, I would tell you right now, don't you dare build that building. Don't you dare even think about breaking ground. Don't you do it. Because we can maintain and work our way through this. But don't you waste God's money and God's time. Because if you're not going to base it on this premises right here, don't go. I'm telling you with every ounce of my being, if you're not going to take this serious and take this as a command and stand up out of that slothful, lazy position that people slide into, and myself included, if you're not going to rise up out of that, don't you dare even put the first stake in the ground. Do that for me, because we're going to make a fool out of ourselves and we're going to make a mockery out of God. And that's not the way I want to be remembered. Open and read the Word of God. I'm holding you a few minutes over, but if you want to leave, that's fine. But for the rest of you who are concerned, stay here a minute. We come to church and we rely dependent upon the preacher to open up the Word of life and bring joy to our soul. And the basis that you have to live your life on is throughout the week when you did read where Joshua stood opposed from Jesus Christ, we believe, in the pre-incarnate place. And you read that this past week in your study. Just so happened that happened. Because God will do that all the time. Where 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is when I take my time as your pastor and I study the Word of God. And yes, I'm not always perfect, but it's almost like God will lead me ahead of time in the Word of God. And when you ask me 3 days from now, I just studied that Tuesday. And God does it over and over and over again. And God will prepare your hearts. Listen, we want to have such good worship services where we feel God moving. Well, read about Him before you get here. Because you'll read over there where Joshua did pull his sword out and he said, you know, are you for us or for our adversary? And they're fixing to march over Jericho. And God says, put your sword away. Put your sword away. You're not going to win this by your strength. You're going to do it by my strength and my strength alone. And if you will follow these specific instructions, those walls will fall flat. You won't be able to explain it, but I promise you, if you stick with me, you'll experience every minute of it. And boom, it happened. And when you read the Word of God coming up before, know how wonder. We're not ready on Sunday. Because I'm going to tell you right now, every Sunday morning, people walk into churches across America, and they're ready for somebody in here, born, come up, fired up, bring it, preacher, come on, preacher, preach it, preacher, woo, bring it, preacher, amen, praise the Lord, woo, 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 but won't open that during the course of the week. Man, just shut your mouth. Amen? You ain't ready. You're relying on that man's stuff to make it through the week. And then about Monday morning, come 9 o'clock, all that, whoop, 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 he's gone. And then you're going to go, preacher, I'm in trouble. Where you at? I don't know. Well, what happened? I can't even explain it. Well, what you going to do to fix it? I don't know. You don't know because God told you to know. Do we not realize that God knows what's coming in the morning? He knows exactly where you're going to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. And guess what He's going to do with the Holy Scripture of God? He's going to take something in here and He's going to bring to your remembrance with the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to tell you exactly how to handle that situation. He's going to give you the peace and the strength and the love and everything you need to persevere. But what you're trying to do is drive an engine without oil. And that sucker, pop, pop, boom, 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 and it's smoking and things are going crazy and you got the hood up. You're saying, they told me this would work. They promised. But baby, look at that. You got to put oil in that. I don't care if it blows it out the tailpipe. You got to keep oil in that. Here it is. This is it. I am holding before you marriages that's on the rocks having trouble. Here we go. You ready? Do you really think He put you out here with no answer? You mean to tell me when He said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, follow me, daddy, that He don't have a way for you to do it? Come on, friend. You don't believe in God. And here it is. So moms and dads, what do we do from this service? Are you going? Listen to me. Don't answer this out loud. We're going to start reading our Bibles at home. Now watch this. Sometimes reading the Bible is like a Pepsi Cola. You open up a time or two, that's pretty good. By that third or fourth time you've been sitting on the counter and little Johnny knocked it over, it's flat. Now we done quit reading it because it's done lost its fizzle. Guess what? The Bible's like a parachute. If you don't open it, it ain't going to do you no good. Amen? Got a little place under you pull your little finger. It'll save your life. Watch this. What is this? What is this? Huh? You'll pull your little finger there. It'll save your life. It'll save your marriage. It may resurrect your children who are thinking about suicide or your children who are thinking about going out this next prom and giving it up because it's the thing to do. But maybe they remember Daddy's tears over the coffee table when he cried and sobbed over what might happen with his little precious daughter. It's better to cry before they do it than after. The tears take a different effect. He'll give you everything you need everything you need. So we close with this. I've rambled on enough. Abraham Lincoln. Back then, flash photography wasn't a big thing when Abe was around. So they painted him. The American president had a wart on the side of his face. And one day, a painter asked Honest Abe, said, "Abe, turn for me a little bit." So he positioned his chair a little bit as he was waiting on the painter to proceed on with his painting. He said, "No, turn a little bit for me. A little bit more for me, Abe." And Abe began to smile. He knew what he was trying to do. He was trying to hide the wart on Abraham Lincoln's face so he wouldn't have to lie about not painting what he saw. Abraham Lincoln told the painter, he said, "I know what it is you're trying to do." He said, "You're trying to get me to turn in such a manner that you won't see the wart on my face. I know it's ugly. It's not what I want." He said, "But when I stand before you in the public, you need to be able to paint a picture of what I am entirely. I can't turn a certain angle and hide. You just need to paint me for who I am." The moral of that story is this. In verse 24, when you hold the glass up and you know what to do and you see yourself for who you are, the danger of the Word of God is when you set it back down and walk away hoping that imagery will go away soon. But in verse 25 is the design of the Word of God. It is when you stand there and you accept and you live in the liberty of the law, and that law is your belief in God, willing to show your complexion. And you see your complexion. Have you ever seen your soul, church? I haven't ever seen mine. I ain't never seen my brain either, but I hope I got one. I know I've got a soul because my Maker lives within me. And when I open this unparalleled Word from my Maker, I see the very complexion of what lies deep beneath the surface. And yes, my soul has warts and places that are ugly, some things I'm not willing to talk about, some things that I would rather turn a little bit and distort the view so no one would see. But I believe that you and I this morning in this assembly before God, we need to lay down all of our pride and all of our shame. And if we really mean business with God, we need to turn front and center. Let God examine and look at our souls. And may we show and give God everything that we are. And stop being ashamed, running, turning in an angle so that the warts of your soul are being hid. Please stand. Every head's bowed, eyes closed. Father, this morning I do believe that you have spoken to hearts. And Father, I ask you this morning, would you just have thine own way? This morning with these people, these precious people. Lord, not a message of who is right or wrong or who did good or who did bad, but God, can we equally together this morning say that there are times that I walk away from the Word of God because it's not what I want to become. I'm not ready to change. Or maybe I know what's right or wrong, but I'm just having difficulty with it. God, it seems the way my life is structured at home that I just don't know where we're going to fit in a time to read the Bible. And even when I do, I'm so tired I can't comprehend it. God, I know this morning that you're still on your throne. I believe that with all that I am. And God, I believe this morning if these people are serious about not only hearing the Word of God, but following through with that command, taking action with it, holding up this imagery of our souls, Lord, I know that you will work a way out and give us a time. God, we're going to have to give up something. Because if our schedules are already full, you can't be more full than full.
So we're going to have to be willing to say that there is something that I'm willing to lay down for you, God. And God, if folks are not willing to do that, we're in trouble anyhow. May you speak to our hearts. May you resurrect our marriages, our homes. But God, I believe that'll start this morning at the foot of the cross. I believe if we are serious about getting into the Word of God, and next time we have a survey, there'll be a 75% to 100 percentile. God, I believe it'll start on our knees this morning. God, may these people know that this altar is open to any need they may have. But God, it starts with you. May we for once stop running and come and face who we are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God spoke to your hearts this morning. Would you come and pray? Thank you. You really need a time to study your Bibles, and you need a way to challenge your kids that'll work. Come ask God. Mac, I don't know where I'll start. Start at the foot of the cross. Until